The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome to another episode of In the Pen, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. I am your host, Callan Elsliger, joined as always by Rick Graham and Jake Crumpler. And guys, we've made it. Games officially count. We have made it to opening day. I don't know about you, but I have not stopped smiling since I woke up this morning. It's been a great day. We've all been pretty much watching baseball all day. I got to watch my Yankees start the season off 1-0. Aaron Judge, of course, it's the first home run of the season. No big deal. But as usual, you're not here to talk about Aaron Judge. You're here to talk about relievers. But before we get into it, just general thoughts. How excited are we to have games that actually matter again and are watching MLB baseball once more?
Yeah, it's been a great day so far. A lot of entertaining games. Even if that means a couple relievers have blown up in the process, it's still been fun to watch some of these games. And just, I love the opening day. You know, there's games starting at 1:00, then there's, you know, the 4:00. It's just all day baseball. So it's been great so far. Just excited to kick off another season.
Totally. It's been a great day. I don't know if I woke up smiling. I'm a guy that needs coffee to get in the mood to start the day. So I definitely wake up too tired to smile. But once I had coffee and started thinking about baseball a little bit, yeah, I've been pretty pumped throughout the entire day. Unfortunately, I had work. I should have worked remote. But nonetheless, I still got to watch some baseball. And now I get to talk some baseball with the boys.
And I'll do our usual caveat. We are currently recording this as we are started this episode. Reynaldo Lopez has now come in for the save for the Chicago White Sox against Houston Astros, facing Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, and Jose Abreu. Oh. No big deal. Go get him, kid, and let's give us another victory lap. But so safe to say, we've watched most of the games today. We have not gotten to West Coast games.
100?
I know Jake could probably record it after that, but we have not. I don't think Rick and I could do a 12:45 a.m. recording at this point in our lives.
No.
Just not going to happen. So if there's any big news that comes out of those, we'll recover it up on the next week. But if you've listened to us long enough, you know how we would start our regular season shows. It's a 3 up, 3 downs. But hey, you know what? We're not at that point in the season. It's one game. I don't think any of us are making drastic changes to our ranks at this point, unless you're Jake and want to start his early season victory laps. But we will start with some news before we get into the games, because there has been some stuff that's come out today since our last episode, including, as usual, a major injury. Of course, one day we decided to record early. We miss a major injury, and Raisel Iglesias is going to be starting the season on the IL for the Atlanta Braves with a shoulder inflammation. We don't know exactly the timetable, but we didn't get to cover it on last week, so we want to talk about it. We saw a little bit of what possibly they'll be doing on opening day. But who do we have as the favorite now for Atlanta? If you're still looking for saves, is there someone you want to take a shot on? Do we have a favorite for the Braves at this point?
Yeah, for now, it looks like it's going to be AJ Minter. And he was going to get a save today. And we can talk a little bit more about that game later. But I know Reynaldo looks awesome. Oh, no. Okay.
You were saying, Rick.
Don't hang that slider. That wasn't a terrible pitch either. That's just Yordan Alvarez being Yordan Alvarez. But anyway, AJ Minter is definitely our favorite for saves here moving forward. I'm surprised to see that there was no Joe Jimenez today. Not sure. I know he's been dealing with some injuries and some stuff. So, but it was Colin McHugh to AJ Minter today, which could be what the Braves go with until Iglesias gets back, which we still don't have a timetable. So, AJ Minter is definitely worth a look in pretty much all leagues right now.
Yeah, it was just disappointing to see Iglesias go down right after we had just anointed him the guy who's going to lead the league in saves. So that was the biggest disappointment
for me. Don't put this we on me. I did not say that.
No, I know. I meant, not you. Sorry. Me and Rick. Rick and I know. So that was disappointing. And I touted him as one of the safer guys. But this seems like a short-term injury, right? Like he's just going to be out the minimum 2 weeks or whatever.
It's what I think, but they haven't said anything yet. That's the one concern I have. And a shoulder, any inflammation, it's always a concern. We're seeing with Tristan McKenzie and Justin Verlander now too. So hopefully it's nowhere near that severe. But anything with a shoulder, it's something to be slightly concerned about.
Yeah, and
I think
with Max Fried going down today, and it didn't look like a major injury, but they're saying he's going to miss at least one start and be placed on the IL. So I'm sure they're going to take it slow in the beginning part of the season with those injuries for their pitchers.
I'd say so. And so with Joe Jimenez, is he worth any sort of look? He was someone I was kind of throwing out there in my head as a possible candidate until we saw game action. But any intrigue in him at this point, or is it really just Minter?
Deeper leagues, he might be worth a hold over the weekend or a look at over the weekend to see how things shake out. But I think Minter looked pretty good today. I think he's going to be the favorite for saves as long as Iglesias is out.
So it's another injury came. This news came out on opening day. So we have actually, this is our first time we get a chance to react to it. But Daniel Bard, who we know the three of us have not been in on Daniel Bard for fantasy purposes, he's being placed on the 15-day IL as he deals with anxiety. Obviously, it's a bigger deal than fantasy baseball. We hope he comes back soon. We know he's missed a lot of time in his career due to just the yips and just not having control of the baseball. So hopefully he gets back on the field soon enough and that he is able to control. This is not something we want to take lightly. But for fantasy at this point, this leaves an opening for bullpen that we're not too excited about. We have not had the chance to react to a game yet because we have not seen the Rockies play. They play it. We'll be playing live, but we won't be while we're recording this. So hopefully we get an answer soon. But do you have an instant favorite for the Rockies for saves? Is it a committee? Where do you see this Rocky bullpen going now?
I want to say that that's a tough thing, Bard's dealing with here, and it's great that he's being open about it, and I hope he takes his time and comes back right, and when he's ready to, and doesn't get pushed back. So as far as what happens in the meantime, I really think you just should, no matter, almost in any league, just stay away from the situation. But if you need to pick one, it's going to be, I think, Denelson. I mean, Pierce Johnson was signed, and he might get the first crack. I don't know if I don't really love him as a closer potentially, but I feel like Lamet. If Lamet can get his stuff back to where it used to be, I think there's something there potentially as a back end reliever. But those are the two names, and I think right now I would take a shot on Lamet just because his stuff plays more up as a closer. But Johnson is the guy they spent money on. He got the contract this offseason, so it could be him. I really would stay away from both, though.
Yeah, Coors really makes it difficult to want to have any type of pitcher on your team in terms of fantasy. I would have to echo those sentiments. I think Lamet is probably the guy that I'd be most excited about. Justin Lawrence, I think, is a good sort of underrated guy there that could have a breakout season. But knowing the Rockies, they're just going to go with the oldest guy in the bullpen. Right now, that's Brent Suter, but he's only half a year older than Brad Hand. So I could really actually see Brad Hand being the guy closing out games, which would be terrible for everybody involved. But yeah, it's not going to be something that I would target, it's going to be somewhat disastrous. But if you've got a crazy pitching staff and all you're missing out on is saves, and you can sort of withstand the lack of Ks or terrible ratios, then I guess give it a shot. But it's really hard to throw darts on a bullpen that's really not going to pay massive dividends.
I agree. I'm not touching any of this. I think it's just, we'll see. Maybe someone emerges. Bud Black doesn't fully go to the committee. We've seen him kind of just name a guy, but nobody really stands out in Colorado unless, you know, someone gets really fixed. So keep an eye out, but I don't think we're going to be seeing many high fab bids for Colorado Rockies closers coming up over the next few weeks.
Sure. Lawrence is a good call out, though. I forgot. I mean, yeah. He looks really nasty right now. I kind of want him to just get him out of Colorado so he can be worth fantasy valuable.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does have some that breaking ball is nasty from that arm angle.
Next injury that's worth covering, Joe Mantiply is also going to be starting the season on the IL for the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll combine this into a little bit of news. We've seen it a little bit. You know, Tori Lavolo has kind of tipped his hand a little bit that Scott McGuff may be the guy who gets the first crack for saves in Arizona. Are you buying that? Is he not a favorite in your mind? Or is it still without Mantiply? Or is it still kind of the same mess we've been making all off season? Another one we haven't had a chance to watch live yet, but it's just McGuff with what's Lavolo saying the favorite, or it's still anyone's game?
Yeah, I think with him, you know, he worked the ninth inning, and you know, ninth inning of a spring training game rarely really means anything, but for teams that are, you know, looking to, you know, put their bullpen together, it can, especially late in spring training. So with him pitching the ninth the other day, I think that's kind of a sign that he's going to get the first opportunity for saves. And you know, I am interested just in, you know, he's looked a little bit better lately. The velocity's come back, and the splitter's his bread and butter. So I think that's been getting whiffs. So I think there's some interest here. There's some, you know, I don't know if he needs to be rostered in all 12 teamers, but definitely getting more interest from me. And I think, you know, we'll see this weekend, but I think he is the closer in Arizona.
Yes. Yes. Victory lap number one for the podcast.
We'll take it. We'll take it. We'll take as many of his victory laps as we can.
We'll see.
And the final bit of, I guess, injury-ish related news. Obviously, this is another one that's more important than fantasy baseball, but we've gotten some really encouraging news from Liam Hendricks, and to a point now where the Chicago White Sox did not place him on the 60-day IL. He's going to be on the 15-day IL. This is some really great news. He's been said to be making an incredible recovery. I haven't fully seen, obviously, a timetable, as there probably shouldn't be at this point, but with this news, are you guys more interested in stashing Liam Hendricks if you have an open IL spot at this point?
Yeah, I think, I mean, depending on your league and the settings and whatnot, if you think you can, you know, hold someone on IL for two months, then I'd say go for it, because this is one of those rare situations. I feel like most closers can lose their job from being out for an extended period of time, but I think no matter what, if he comes back, he's going back into the role, no matter how well Reynaldo Lopez pitches, you know, the rest up until that point. So, I think Hendricks, it's great news. I mean, hopefully they're thinking maybe around June or by the end of June potentially, which would be awesome. But still a long way to go here, but at least we're getting some good news.
Definitely. There was sort of the idea that he was going to be out for the whole season. Yeah. So I think many people were avoiding him completely in drafts. But now that we have this good news that he's responding well to treatment, there's definitely, if you've got either unlimited IL spots, or you've got a lot of IL spots and a team that doesn't seem like it's going to get hurt, then it's probably worth it to at least try to hold on to him, because he could be back within the next like 2.5-3 months, which would be amazing to see. I would love to. He's one of my favorite relievers to watch, not just because he's an incredible pitcher, but also he's definitely a character, and it's not just because he's Australian. It's he's just a special player and a special person.
Yeah, I agree. He's a lot of fun to watch. I hope he makes a speedy recovery and he can be back out for us for entertainment purposes, fantasy purposes, whatever the case may be, come later in the season. But we'll move over to opening day. So we've actually had meaningful baseball games. So we actually have usage stuff to analyze so far. So before we go, we'll go sort of game by game. This won't be our normal trend, but it's opening day, so we want to go through as much as we possibly can. But before we do that, we'll start with you, Jake. What stood out to you most? What was your one, if there is a major takeaway you can have from opening day, of all the games, everything we've seen so far, what's your biggest takeaway from opening day?
We're talking about just relievers, right? This is a reliever podcast?
This is a reliever podcast. We got to stick with relievers. Maybe at the end we can do some non-reliever talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you mentioned, there's a lot to talk about. I mean, basically every game we saw something that has impacts on how we're going to see the reliever roles and the back end of the bullpens shape out for every single team. I wasn't able to watch every game, so I didn't really get to like see what the pitchers were looking like, but I did get to have the opportunity to peruse some of the box scores. But to be completely honest, this game going on right now with Reynaldo Lopez closing out is probably the one that stands out most for me. Not just because I'm taking a victory lap on that one. having a great day over here. But also because his stuff looks crazy.
It does. He
came out there and he threw 100 miles per hour. I heard Rick make a little exclamation, and I did too. I was just sitting here with my jaw dropped for the whole time he was pitching. He was sitting like 2 miles per hour higher on his fastball, like consistently hitting 100 to 101. And his slider was 3 miles per hour fastball or faster. Yeah. And his changeup, he was throwing at 90 miles an hour as well. He looks like a completely different pitcher. And even though he did give up a home run to Yordan Alvarez and walked a guy, which Yordan hit a really good pitch out of the park, and he's a great hitter, so you can't really blame Raylo for that. But he looks like somebody that could be incredible this year if he's not just sort of pumped up on adrenaline.
Yeah, it's worth noting, just going through that, since we'll get into that game. As we're watching this, he just completed the save. So we get that. Pat yourselves on the back. We got a Reynaldo Lopez save on opening day. That's a
nice,
a big one. But Kendall Graveman was brought in the eighth inning of a tie game on the road. And you know what? Reynaldo Lopez faced, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the Astros order. Whether it's situation managed, whether it's he wanted to get saved, or it was a big part of the lineup, Reynaldo Lopez is going to be, at least from this point on, at this point right now, he seems to be the guy in the big situations. Maybe he gets some of that fireman role and faces the meat of the order in like the eighth inning at other points. But right now, Reynaldo Lopez, like you said, stuff was great. Looks like the guy you want in the White Sox bullpen. Obviously, it's one game, but we got to take what we can get at this point in the season.
Yeah, I would say I don't want to go overboard, but he should be rostered pretty much everywhere, I think, by this weekend.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep, I would agree. Rick, we'll move over to you. What was your big takeaway? If you have anything more to add to that one, or your biggest takeaway at this point through
the day? I think, Jake did a pretty good job summing that stuff up. And I think it was interesting. I think the Blue Jays used pretty much every single reliever they had today. I don't know, it's opening day and you don't want to, Manoah was kind of struggling. But the Blue Jays bullpen management was definitely, actually, I mean, both teams in that game, the Cardinals too, the bullpen management was a little bit sketchy. I guess teams are feeling things out this opening day, but and then, how the Twins kind of managed the back end of their bullpen, I thought was interesting and definitely surprised me too. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But it's always interesting to see, like, when the games matter, how things pan out at the end of games.
Yeah, definitely some questionable bullpen management on both sides in that one. But like I said, we'll cover that game in just a little bit. So we'll take our first break. We'll jump in. When we get back, we'll jump into go game by game as much as we can, kind of take away some of our usage, get into a little bit of news, and try and take what we can from this amazing day so far in baseball.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
All right, so let's get into the game-by-game recap. We'll start at the 1 o'clock Eastern games. And the big takeaway, the Braves, obviously they beat the Washington Nationals. The big storyline, I guess there's two things of note, at least for me, that stood out. First, for Nationals, they brought Kyle Finnegan in the ninth inning, trailing 4-2. He was unable to hold the lead. He was unable to, He was unable to keep the game where it's at in 4-2. Gave up three runs, making it, I believe, 7-2. To which AJ Minter came on to finish the game for the Braves. He was warming up for what looked like a save situation. We talked about at the beginning of the show that kind of points Minter as the top candidate for save at this point for Atlanta. But, you know, is there anything else you want to add to that? Is there any concern with Kyle Finnegan from what you saw?
It's definitely not a good. That's not a great. From Finnegan's standpoint, because I was already a little bit skeptical on him potentially, you know, on how long he was going to hold on to the closer job and, you know, whether or not he even has it. But I suppose he does, since he pitched in the ninth and Hunter Harvey worked the eighth inning. Finnegan's going to be he's going to have some rough outings. This whole bullpen's going to have some rough outings. So, between like a Finnegan or a Reynaldo Lopez, I think it's clearly Reynaldo Lopez at this point. And, you know, that's not really what I know, but
that's not even close.
I know, but like just looking at like ADPs towards the end, wildly different numbers for those two guys. So, Finnegan's definitely not someone to trust right now. And Minter, I guess Minter would look great, and I'm just curious as to where Joe Jimenez was. Other than that, Colin McHugh is definitely going to factor into holds there, probably more so than he did last year, and especially with Iglesias out. So, you know, if you're in holds leagues, McHugh is always a solid target, always pretty safe. He doesn't get, you know, blown up ever. He's great for points leagues because you're not getting negative points.
You can go multiple innings. Yeah. He's a big PLV guy too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've pumped him up a little bit already this offseason. But, yeah, you made some great points there. I think if Finnegan keeps pitching like this, he probably won't have the role for long. And it was nice to see our boy Hunter Harvey out there and still showing the same velocity that he had before. It was good to see him throw a curveball, one.
Progress.
Exactly. Better than nothing, but he wasn't throwing 80% fastballs, which was interesting. He was more like 58%, 60% around and threw his splitter a few times, which is great to see. I'm not too excited about this bullpen. It just seems like it's going to be a mess if they don't just give it to Hunter Harvey and they let sort of people run through the role and struggle and the team doesn't win a lot of games. But the Braves bullpen is interesting for the fact that I don't know if we factored in enough the fact that Kenley's out and it just moves everybody up the ladder, right?
Yeah.
So it's like instead of just like, oh, we still got all the same guys. Like you said, McHugh's probably going to factor into more holds. And I don't think many people considered that before, because last year in the second half, they had Iglesias and Minter and Kenley Jansen, they just had so many options in the late games that McHugh was sort of an afterthought. And now I think he could be more of a centerpiece of the back end of that bullpen because it's sort of a necessity, right? They brought in Joe Jimenez, but we didn't see him today. We don't know if last year's breakout is going to continue into this season. I think there's a few questions there and with the rest of the bullpen, but I think you're right in pointing out that McHugh can definitely have a bigger role and that Minter is probably the go-to guy here, especially because I thought Lucas Lutke looked pretty solid. I know he gave up a run and didn't strike anybody out, but his stuff was looking pretty nice.
Yeah. We talked about throughout the offseason, Braves going to have one of the best bullpens in the leagues. The Nationals, not so much. They might be the favorite for the worst record in MLB, which doesn't mean good things for our fantasy bullpens.
Yankees and the Hunter Harvey stat from today. He threw 12 pitches and did not get one called strike or one whiff. Not getting a lot of swings and misses or missing bats here, so that's not great.
Let's hope he turns things around so we can do some more victory lapping. But Yankees and Giants, there's not too much to take away from the bullpen. We'll kind of breeze past that one. Yankees won 5-0. Cole went 6 shutout innings, and the Yankees went Peralta, Loaisiga, and then Ron Marinaccio. By the time it got to the 8th inning, the Yankees ended up putting 2 more runs, so they saved Clay Holmes, had him warming up in case Marinaccio got into any sort of trouble, but really good stuff from the Yankee bullpen. Not too much to take away from there. It looks like it's pretty much what we expected with Clay Holmes being the favorite for saves. But Rick, you're the Red Sox fan. They made a battle in a really exciting game against the Baltimore Orioles. Can't take anything away from the Red Sox bullpen, but Felix Bautista, we saw his first save opportunity this season, and he got it. But are you concerned? He gave up 2 runs. Any sort of concern from Bautista in his first save opportunity since of the season and with the injury he had during preseason?
First of all, we can take something away from the Red Sox bullpen in that it is very not good, especially...
I was going to say those exact same words in that fans. Exact same order.
outside of Jansen and maybe Chris Martin. And I mean, even Martin and Schreiber didn't look good this spring. So, there's some concerns there. But anyway, yeah. But I think Bautista, just because he's had a slow spring, I'm not too worried about, the velocity being down today. I saw a stat that this is only the second time he's pitched in weather under like 50 degrees at the MLB level. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how accurate that was, but if so, I mean, it makes some sense. It's a weird time of year, especially pitching in Boston, and it was cold today. It was not warm. It was like 42. So, I think it's going to take him some time to literally and figuratively warm up to, to get back to where he was last year, especially with, only making a few appearances this spring. So not concerned yet. Another 2 weeks, if this is still going on, then we might start to hit the panic button a little bit.
Yeah, that's great points. You're not concerned, though, that his fastball was down like 2 miles an hour?
I think it's just because of it's similar with guys like, Jose Leclerc and Fairbanks. All those guys' fastballs were down today, and I think it's just because they had a slow start to the spring and weren't really able to ramp up. So that's why I say give them another 2 weeks or to a month and see where they're at. And if it's still down, then there's concerns for sure.
Yeah, that's fair.
We'll over to the next game, and Jake, I'm going to start with you because this is one of the calls that so far you're looking right for. Chicago Cubs won 4-0, but we did see maybe some trends towards usage. What can you take away from how the Cubs were using their relievers in their win?
For sure. Victory lap number 2. Michael Fulmer was the guy to technically close out the ball game. He did get the GF, the game's finish, not the girlfriend, but he looked pretty solid. I didn't get to watch it. I did have a friend say he looked, I think he said he looked gross. And I was like, is that positive or negative? And he said it was positive. So, and he's a Cubs fan. So I felt good about that. You know how negative they can be. But I think the thing that gives me the most positive feelings is the fact that he came out after Boxberger. They could have used Boxberger in the 9th. They could have saved him, but they used him in the 8th. And so that gives me the confidence that they've got Fulmer over Boxberger, but it does seem like it is between those two guys right now. We didn't see any other relievers pitch, other than Keegan Thompson. So we can't really take anything from that. We don't know if Brandon Hughes is still going to be in that mix or if, you know, one of the younger guys can step in. But yeah, it was interesting to see Fulmer sort of using a bunch of different types of pitches. You know, he employed a sweeper. He threw his changeup a lot, but he threw everything about the same amount of times. He threw like five cutters, four seamers, three changes, two sweepers, and a sinker. So it seems like he's going like kitchen sink vibes, which is somewhat interesting. I don't really like when relievers do that because they can really survive with a two pitch mix really well. But yeah, I'm ecstatic to see him pitching the ninth of a game like this. I wish it had been a save situation, considering how many saves, how many how often I have him rostered in my leagues. But you know, I'll take it. Just the
usage
firmness of, yeah, just knowing that I have that, having him in that role, knowing that I was right.
Yeah, and then you saw in the eighth inning when they brought, you know, while Boxberger also walked someone, he started off at the bottom of the order. I believe he faced 8-9-1-2 or 9-1-2-3, whatever it was. He faced the bottom of the order to the top, and then they brought in Fulmer to face the middle of the lineup. Hopefully that's a trend moving forward for your sake in terms of your predictions, but a good sign too. Hope, you know, we seem to have some tendency that Fulmer, but then again, it's one game, but as of right now, Fulmer seems to be the leader in the clubhouse. A similar situation took place for our boy, Pete Fairbanks. The Rays, in their usage, they had Adam coming in the eighth. Pete Fairbanks was warming up in the ninth, but the Rays tacked on a run to not make it a save opportunity, but Pete Fairbanks still got the game finished in a similar thing. Rick, it's got to be points up for our boy, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a good sign. You know, again, just reading the, you know, he was going to get the save opportunity if it came down to it. And it's the Rays, so it's hard to put a ton of stock into this early. But, you know, one game down and one potential save opportunity. So it's looking good for the Fairbanks call. Yeah, I think, you know, again, I talked about Batista's velocity and Fairbanks' velocity is down 2 miles per hour as well. But again, I think it's just a slow start to the season, and I think it will get back to normal, you know, within the next two or so weeks.
Let's hope so. I was pumped to see that, and I was sort of pissed at Wander Franco for hitting a dinger in the ninth and taking that save from us, because that would have just made us look like geniuses right off the bat. But it is worth noting, though, that they used Jason Adam versus the 1-2-3-4 yep. in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So he did seem like he was the high leverage guy there. So we can't say that the Rays are not going to raise a little bit, you know, like they're not just going to go straight up closer throughout the year. That would be more surprising than Pete Fairbanks living up to the hype. But yeah, so that's like the only concern I have there, is that Jason Adam is probably going to steal at least a few saves if he's going to be used in that situation as like the high leverage guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And like I said, it might have been the most upset I was at a player on one of my fantasy teams going yard with Wander Franco. I wanted it so my other fantasy players can get a save. But you know what? We'll take it. It's a point in our favor. We'll take it. But like I said, that's a good point about how Adam was used and the leverage and the batters he faced. Keep an eye on that. Rays are going to ray, but Fairbanks right now, leader in the clubhouse there as well. And speaking of the leader in the clubhouse, Jose Leclerc finished off another four-run lead for the Texas Rangers over the Philadelphia Phillies in a wild back-and-forth game that was dubbed as the pitching matchup of the day, with DeGrom versus Nola, and neither of them got out of the fifth inning. So that's baseball for you. But is there anything we can take away from Texas's usage? Is Leclerc being the guy to finish off the game? Does that point him as the favorite in Texas, or you think that's just a one-game sample?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the favorite for the foreseeable future, but I do have concerns here as well with, you know, he also had some injuries he dealt with and had a slow spring, but, you know, his fastball was down a little bit. It was down over more than 2 miles per hour. So, and, you know, he let up a walk and a hit in this game and was able to get out of it. But you know, Leclerc never made saves easy, even when he was the closer. He's always kind of been, you know, walking a hit in like two or three Ks, and that was his outing. So I don't know. It's a good sign, I guess, if you've rostered Leclerc somewhere and you know, you're hoping he takes this job, because as long as he's converting saves, they're not, I don't think Bruce Bochy's gonna, you know, pull him from that role anytime soon. So it's a good start, and not that it was a save, but you know, I think that, like we said with Minter and Fulmer and Fairbanks, you know, 4-1 lead in the ninth where closers still get work there. So it's a good start from a usage standpoint. I just want to see Leclerc's stuff get better.
Yep. Let's take another quick break. When we get back, we're going to continue to dive through these games and see if we can make any sense out of them. But we'll jump back and we'll get into one of our favorite relievers. We're back right here. All right. So for once, we actually have one where there was a first real save opportunity on this list. We got the save. David Bednar came in for the Pirates, held off the Cincinnati Reds in a very close game to pick up the first save of the 2023 season. Not too much more to take away. Is there anything you saw from Bednar, how the Reds used their bullpen, or anything of note in this matchup?
Not a ton. It's just, you know, trying to figure out who was going to get the ball to Bednar, and I believe it was Colin Holderman today, which I do think he might be the second best reliever in that bullpen when all is said and done. And yeah, it's nice if you're rostering someone like Bednar and the Pirates. You know, you got to get some saves from a team when they're playing against the Reds. That's like, you know, you got to get at least a save or two when there's a series against the Reds. So it's good to pick that one up for him. The rest of this, you know, the rest of the Reds bullpen, not a lot going on there. A lot of names that I'm surprised to see in 2023 pitching. But yeah, Bednar, good start for him, and, you know, hopefully rewarding those who drafted him.
It feels pretty crazy that two of the relievers with the safest roles are on the Pirates and Reds.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought I would really say that, but
no competition.
Good start. That's true. Yeah. That's definitely true. But speaking of going on a competition, this is one we can take a real big takeaway. The Minnesota Twins hinted at their bullpen usage, and we saw some absolute filth from John Duran, over 100 miles an hour on his fastball. Picked up the save for the Twins. Jorge Lopez came in the seventh inning to hold the Royals. I believe it was a 2-0 game at the time. Pitched a scoreless inning of relief. Duran came out and got the save. But Jake, is this got to build up the confidence for you for Duran, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was already very confident in him, thinking that he was like one of the, if not the best reliever in baseball, just in terms of his stuff and how dominant he was last year. But to see him come out and get the save on opening day, that's wonderful news, especially for anybody that has him rostered. Interesting to see them use Jorge Lopez that early. I mean, 7th, 8th, and 9th are all very close in terms of how much impact they have on who's going to win the game. And I'm not quite sure what part of the order Lopez was facing. Does anybody know?
You guys talk and I'll look that up for you.
Awesome. Yeah. So even if he was the high leverage guy, it would seem weird that they would use, I don't know, their clear second or third best reliever in the high leverage role, but you know what? I'll take it. If they use Duran as the closer all year, that might not be the smartest baseball decision, but I definitely think that's exactly what every fantasy manager wants, because Duran is so good. And, yeah, that's incredible. That's about as much as you could hope for from a guy that could be the number one closer in baseball this year if he is the outright closer there.
Yeah, I think it's the Twins just basically, they put their third best reliever in the seventh inning, their second best reliever in the eighth inning, and their best reliever in the ninth, like mm-hmm. an old school, like, you know, how old school games were managed. And I mean, if Duran's getting saves, yeah, he's in that tier of Class A if he's the consistent closer. And yeah, he looked, I mean, his stuff is just insane. I can't believe it's getting better. I don't, like, averaging 102 miles per hour is crazy.
And he averaged 99 on the splitters.
Yeah.
at 9 curveballs too on his 17 pitches. I feel like we never talk about, he's got the curveball too. Like, this is just insane. But to answer the question, Jake, Caleb Fielbauer started the 7th after getting out of the 6th and got Michael Massey out. Then Jorge Lopez got Hunter Dozier and Kyle Isbell out. I believe that was 7 and 8 hitters in the Royals lineup before they turned it over to Griffin Jacks for the 8th inning. But I guess we've kind of touted Griffin Jacks as someone to keep an eye out. The fact that he was brought in for the 8th inning, eyebrows raised. Is there any value or interest in Griffin Jacks right now with how he was used this game?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, it's interesting because I do like Jacks better than Lopez. So if they feel the same way, and if they're going to trust Jacks in the 8th and Lopez in the 7th, then I'm surprised. I'm glad, but also surprised that like Emilio Pagan didn't end up in this game somehow. So I think the Twins have a good handle on their bullpen right now, and they use the best guys today, and I think the best order. So yeah, Jacks, I mean, if you're in an AL only or a deeper league, definitely worth a look, because he's going to help you out, you know, with ratios and Ks as well.
One note from the Royals bullpen before we move on. Carlos Hernandez, I was very interested in him when he was first starting for the Royals a few years ago. He's really struggled in that role, and now he seems like a full-time reliever. And he was averaging 99.7 miles per hour with his fastball today, which was up 3 miles per hour from his average last year. His slider was coming in at 90 miles an hour. His stuff just seems, it's always been insane, but it's playing up even more in the bullpen. And we've talked about how Barlow seems like a safe reliever, but I think his role is less safe than we would like to believe, especially with Chapman there as well. I think Carlos Hernandez is the dark horse in that bullpen, and I'd keep an eye on him throughout the year. Definitely good option for holds.
If you did not hear Rick and I let on audible when you mentioned the 99.7 mile per hour, but yeah, that was impressive. I did not catch too much of that game, but it's nice to hear that. The eyebrows are raised. I think he'll be someone I'm circling as a watch list candidate right now. But we got our first hint at how the New York Mets were going to use their bullpen, and the first save went to David Robertson. But the very curious thing was that Adam Ottavino did not show up. Brooks Raley, Drew Smith pitched the 7th and 8th innings respectively. Buck Showalter came out before, I believe on a Wednesday, to kind of talk about his bullpen and said that Robertson may get the bulk of it. He has the most experience, so he kind of hinted at him maybe being the guy, but threw out all 4 of those names as options. But with how this was used, do you think Robertson in those comments, he's now the favorite, or are we still, what can you take out of those comments and opening day usage so far?
Yeah, I think as long as the roster is what the roster is currently, I think you're going to get Robertson at around 75, possibly 80% of the saves. So, you know, I think Raley and Ottavino will mix in a little bit there too. Maybe Drew Smith once or twice, but Smith looked good today too. I think this is it's going to be Robertson's bullpen to lose. I think Buck Showalter said it the best, that, or what makes sense is, you know, Robertson's the guy with the experience, most experience in the role on the roster, so that's what he's going to go with. And I get it; it makes sense. So. He looked fine too. He pitched well. He had 2 strikeouts. Stuff. I mean, he's never going to blow. He's not going to throw 93 plus. He's low velo guy, but he's been doing the job for the last 2 seasons. So no reason to think that he's not worth a roster spot on your fantasy team now.
Yeah. One thing of note for the Marlins, how they use their bullpen. We saw Tanner Skye, at least that stood out to me. He came in the tie game in the 7th inning.
Yeah.
Skip Schumacher also had some interesting comments for how he was going to use our bullpen. And it was basically all these guys going to get saves. But he threw up 3 names with Scott, Floro, and AJ Puck. So we're monitoring that closely. Is there anything to take out there? The fact that Scott was the one that brought in, or just it's one game? We'll just monitor it closely.
I think it might show that I don't think Scott's a real competitor in that. I think it's Floro and Puck, and I think Puck's going to be the guy eventually, but Floro might still get the first save opportunity. But Puck's definitely the guy to roster here still, and I don't think that's changing over the weekend, no matter how this thing shakes out for me.
All right, moving on. We talked about this, so let's dive in. The Cardinals and Blue Jays game. I'm not even going to get it. I'm just going to let you guys talk. There's a lot to take away from both Ryan Helsley, Jordan Romano, guys getting the ball to Helsley. What's your big takeaways from that wild Blue Jay win over the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think the first thing was when I was watching this and I was like, where in the eighth inning and where's Giovanni Gallegos? And turns out he was held out because he's got a back injury. He's day to day. Doesn't look like it's going to need an IL stint, fortunately. So, but yeah, both bullpens just really struggled to hold any sort of lead in this one. Eric Swanson looked good, but he pitched the fifth inning, which I found interesting because that's a guy that they brought in, I thought, to be the setup guy for Jordan Romano. So seeing him that early kind of raised an eyebrow. Helsley, I think, will be fine. I'm not too concerned. Blue Jays are a good offense, and at least Helsley's stuff still looked good from a velocity standpoint. But yeah, I think this is both these bullpens don't have a ton of depth, and Yimi Garcia and isn't really someone who I want pitching the eighth inning for me if I'm a team that wants to go to the World Series this year.
Great points. I, like Callan said, there's lots to talk about in this bullpen between both of these teams. They were both employing the depths of their bullpen and showing off what they got this year. I think one funny point is Adam Simber was pumping gas down 3 miles an hour to 84 miles an hour on his four seamer. I can throw that fast. Maybe actually I could. I would like to go to a radar facility and see what I got in my arm.
We're gonna need videos of that if you do.
Well, I did one of those like arcade ones where the ball is like super light, and I was hitting 70. So I think I could get close to 80.
Go to Drive Live for a weekend and you'll be okay.
Right? Yeah. I'll be throwing 100 like Ronaldo Lopez. I think Eric Swanson probably was used in a high leverage role, that's probably why they brought him in. They wanted a guy they can trust to use throughout the ball game and give their bullpen some more depth where they can use guys like Simber and Yimi later in the game and not really worry about what part of the lineup they're facing. And Romano seems like one of the safest closers in the game. I think that's very apparent. In St. Louis, it was crazy to see Jordan Hicks coming out averaging 102 on his fastball and topping out at 104. Just ridiculous heat coming out of his arm. I definitely couldn't throw that fast. And the slider was up to 88 miles per hour on average as well. He struggled somehow, though. I don't know how people hit his stuff, but it's definitely going to be difficult to keep myself from hyping him up all year if he's pumping that kind of stuff in the strike zone all year. So that's going to be an exciting one, especially if Helsley continues to struggle and maybe Gallegos is still injured. Hicks is the next guy up there, and he definitely has closer stuff. So that's something I'm going to be watching. But you have to imagine Helsley's going to bounce back after the year he had last year. But we do sort of have to keep in the back of our minds that in the second half last year, Helsley was not as good as he was in the first half. That first half was absolutely incredible. I'm talking right now to wait for FanGraphs to load his splits, which have now finally loaded. And in the second half, he had a 2.10 ERA, which is great, but compared to the 0.69 ERA, not as earth-shattering. But I still think he's a great pitcher, and he should hopefully bounce back. But they do have a pretty insanely good insurance policy in Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, I think this is also, the reminder of your Gallegos shares are still going to have some value because of Helsley's struggles. We're talking about it during the offseason. This isn't a victory lap by any stretch, but how confident are we with Helsley? I think he's still the guy, don't get me wrong, but would it shock you to make the switch? They made the switch pretty quick from Gallegos last year. It wouldn't shock me if they do that same switch, later in the season with the going from Helsley to Gallegos, or like Jake said, maybe they stick with Jordan Hicks. So lots of guys to monitor. The Cardinals bullpen is going to be very interesting at this point. The Blue Jays, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Jordan Romano, he's pretty darn good. We've we've reacted live to this one, so I don't know if there's too much more we want to add, but the White Sox and Astros game, Ronaldo Lopez got the save, Kendall Graveman appeared in the eighth. One thing of note, Ryan Presley did blow the save in our, I guess it was tie game in the ninth inning, he came on for as a closer, should. Gave up two runs thanks to a two-run double from Andrew Vaughn. Anything else we take away from this Astros White Sox game? Any, you know, Rafael Montero blew the lead in the eighth inning. Anything to take away at this point, or wait and see?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's Montero is definitely someone I'm not as high on this year from last year. Not just because of this game, but I think he was mostly lucky last year. Presley didn't seem too bad. He just, you know, I'm not too concerned with him. It's early one day. So I think it was good to see him, you know, his velocity be back to where it was last year. That's good to see. Cause I know last year his velocity was down to start the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then other than that, it's just, you know, Ronaldo Lopez, the electric factory. I can't believe he was sitting in the hundreds. But
right, it would have been something by itself if he had just saved the ball game, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that he came in there looking like a completely new pitcher that like was even more dominant just increases the hype that much more.
And full disclosure, we were talking while the game was going on, and as soon as we saw Ronaldo Lopez was coming in, we said we had to start recording so we can live react to how he looks. So glad that we did. He looked really good. He is a favorite. Kendall Graveman will still show up. He'll still be part of that mix, but Lopez right now looks like the guy. And like you said, everything looks great. I'm very curious to check out his Savant numbers by the end of the show. But like we said, we're still recording during these West Coast games. We're not going to get to any save opportunities. These games have just started by the time we've hit record, so... But we want to go into a little bit of some of it, including some of the latest news. We'll start with the Oakland Athletics Jake's team. Mark Kotze had some very interesting words about his closer mix. They signed Jeurys Familia, and then they asked who's going to be getting saves, and said it's going to be a committee between Trevor May, Jeurys Familia, and Danny Jimenez. We were at a show that was pretty much touting Trevor May, how good of a value he was. Are we worried about touting him? Do we have concerns about Trevor May at this point? Should we go out and get Jeurys Familia or Danny Jimenez? Anything? What do we think about that point?
I'll start just because my team. Sorry, Rick.
No, go for it. I was going to tell you to start anyway.
Yeah, I would have a little bit of concern. I sort of talked about this early on in the season when you were talking about Danny Jimenez as a sleeper that you liked really late in drafts. And there are definitely concerns. We couldn't really sort of anoint Trevor May as the clear cut closer until he actually saved a ball game or saved multiple ball games in a row. And obviously that has not happened yet. Their game just started, obviously, but there's still concerns, but I do think he's sort of going to show himself as the most trusted reliever in that bullpen. Hopefully it doesn't take too long for him to get in that role, because like I said, throughout the offseason, they're going to want to trade him, and the best way to get a lot of value out of him is to pump him up in the ninth inning. But that being said, to answer your second question about who would you target, definitely Danny Jimenez. I have no... I'm not interested in Familia at all, and... He's had up and down seasons in his career. You can go back to 2016 when he saved 51 ball games for the New York Mets with a 2.55 ERA following a 43 save season with a 1.85 ERA. So we've definitely seen him be absolutely elite, but that is not the case anymore. Last year, he had a 6.09 ERA, which was very unlucky. He had a 3.86 BABIP and a 4.29 XFIP, but if he's more of like a fours ERA guy, I still don't think that's close to what May or Jimenez in this case are going to be featuring. It'll be interesting to see if he's got like something new, but what team was he on before that let him go?
The Diamondbacks.
They don't need any relief help. Yeah.
That is true. That is fair. I guess if it was like a team like the Reds or something and they let him go, I'd be like, what are the A's doing? But Yeah, it is somewhat weird that they're touting a guy that had a 6 ERA last year, but you can point out that he had a sub 4 ERA the two seasons before that. I don't have too much faith in him sort of putting everything together in Oakland, but it's not out of the question. He does have potential just by having been an elite closer in the past, but you never know. I would target Jimenez, though, over Familia.
Yeah, funny story, but we were doing a live stream during PitchCon. Rick and I were on with Greg Jewett doing our reliever panel. And at that point, Jerry Familia signed his minor league deal. And I very jokingly said, oh, look, Jerry Familia, he's going to be relevant for fantasy. Well, maybe. Maybe.
Prescient.
It's, like I said, it's crazy that it's 2023 and we're talking about Jerry Familia as a save candidate, but here we are. So keep an eye on that game. Then again, they are facing Shohei Ohtani, so we may have to wait till the weekend until we get to see any sort of a save opportunity in Oakland. But as soon as I say that now, we'll probably get a save on that. So maybe you're listening to this and already know the answer, but who knows? Rick, anything else from these West Coast teams? We talked about the Rockies at the beginning of the show. We talked about the Diamondbacks a little bit. Anything you're monitoring for those guys?
I think the Rockies are the big one to look at, to see that they're in a 1-1. They're tied with the Padres in the second inning, still early. There's going to be a lot tonight. I think we're going to wake up. We could have some answers in either Oakland or the Angels. We're still waiting to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like this is like election day and we're just like trying to like find out the results. It's like who's going to win and who's going to be the closer in LA and Oakland. The Diamondbacks are playing tonight. The one play and, you know, Seattle, too. It's, you know, between. I think it's going to be Seawall, but I want to be interesting to see how Munoz is used as well. So, some fun things to look at for tonight. But hopefully we get someone to close out a game in the Oakland Angels game, so we can get at least one answer there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. But that's gonna, you know. So that kind of leads into generally when it comes to these shows, we wrap it up with things we're keeping an eye out for. And like I said, it's a one-day sample we've gotten so far. We've talked about these West Coast teams, but as we move forward in the season, as we go through this coming week, anything other bullpen situations you're trying to monitor? We've kind of talked about it throughout the show, but is there one or two things that you're tuning into, save opportunities you really want to keep a closer eye on? We'll start with you, Jake.
I think it's just going to be a lot of the same stuff. We've got a pretty short slate tomorrow, but I know we're not going to be recording up until next Thursday. So we'll have a whole week of things going on. I think it's just going to be a lot of the same stuff that we were sort of hoping to see today. One of the biggest things I think is going to be seeing if guys have their velocity back. We talked about a few guys that were down 2 miles per hour today. It's going to be pretty important for those guys to get that fastball velocity back. We did a study this past offseason about the correlation between fastball velocity and being an elite reliever, and it's definitely sticky. It's definitely important to throw hard as a reliever, especially in comparison to yourself. So that's going to be important for those guys to get their velocity back. And then obviously just pretty much every single bullpen role where there's a battle going on right now, definitely going to be keeping a close eye on those, especially on Pete Fairbanks. If he gets that next save or save-ish opportunity, I'm going to be pretty pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to. Those are great, great points. I think the one other thing we haven't talked a ton about him, but like Kenley Jansen, mm-hmm. I just want to see where, you know, how he looks. You know, he's had some weird like kind of sicknesses or medical things mm-hmm. going on, and you know, you have to remember that he's got a heart condition. So I want to see where he's at and how. You know, how he looks for, you know, I still think he can be one of those guys we can rely. He's a reliable closer that, you know, in this day, there's not a ton of them. So is he still one of those reliable guys in that second tier, or is there going to be issues? So I'm interested to see his first outing and see how he pitches in April.
Yeah, that's worth noting. Like you said, on Saturday, been one of the last games of spring training, you see it pop, the news pop up in the Discord. Kenley Jansen leaves with trainer, and all of us start to wonder what the heck's going on. We later find out that it was just, like you said, sickness. He's a little lightheaded. You wonder if it's the Florida heat. You wonder if it's related to, like you said, he has that heart condition. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. We haven't seen it yet, but I'd like to, you know, see what he looks like. He's a reliever that's generated a lot of conversation this coming going into this season. So I definitely want to monitor him and see where he's at and if he can still be that that reliable reliever that we've hoped he can be. And even though none of us really were fully buying into him this coming season. Before we wrap it up, Jake, you kind of talked about it at the beginning of the show that it doesn't have to be, does it have to be reliever centric? Before we end up, what was your big highlight from opening day? It doesn't have to be relievers now. I'll give one or two things that really stood out for just highlights of the opening day. Now we have a real baseball back.
I think first on the list, I think it was really cool to see Aaron Judge hit the first home run of the season.
Yep. And that's going to be all we have for the show. Thank you for reminding everyone that Aaron Judge went deep again.
End it on a good note. I think it was pretty cool just to see the guy who sort of was the definition of home runs in 2022 be the guy to start it off this year. Last year, do you guys remember who the first home run was last year?
Was it Miguel Cabrera?
No,
he had that home run in the snow.
Yeah,
that was cool. It was Nico Horner, and I remember because I remember tweeting after he did it that today Nico Horner has more home runs than he has in the last 2 years combined because he went two straight years with zero home runs, which small sample size disregarded there. That's sort of poetic to have him hit the first home run after that incredible record-breaking season. I also thought it was pretty cool to see Logan Webb set a new personal strikeout record. I'm pretty sure I've said on the show before he went to my ex-girlfriend's high school. So that was I've definitely seen him play football before in high school, which is pretty weird to think about. But yeah, great day from him. I don't think anybody had on their bingo card Logan Webb outstriking out Gerrit Cole on opening day, but he did by one. So pretty impressive there from my boy Logie.
Yeah, that's that. That was a great outing from him. I think Adam Wainwright singing the national anthem was pretty cool, pretty cool thing to see. And you know, I think O'Neill Cruz hit a home run today. That I really hope he can be a legit 30-30 threat. That just give me the Pirates. I know they have Brian Reynolds, who's a really good ball player, but you know, I want to see someone like Cruz who's got like real star potential, and I want to see like you know someone come out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he was looking really good today.
So
home run was easily 105, 110, something like that. I don't have it in front of me,
but it was 110. Yeah,
easily over 100 miles per hour. That was insane. But I guess for me, the big takeaway as a Yankee fan, Gerrit Cole looked really good, but more importantly for baseball, seeing the young players make their major league debuts. Anthony Volpe starting at shortstop for opening day for the Yankees was awesome. Jordan Walker getting a hit in his first at bat for the Cardinals was great. Oscar Colas came off the bench for the White Sox and got a pinch hit single. So seeing all those rookies and the top prospects in the sport make the opening day rosters, starting on opening day, coming through for their teams. We all harp on Major League Baseball for good reason for things they do wrong, but we can say that rule they added in with the incentive to call people up and give them a potential year of service time for to finish in rookie year, it's having an impact for making the rosters. And so I'll say it for one of the few times. Hats off, MLB. That rule's coming in very, very great so far. But that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of In the Pen. Do we want to hype up some work before we end it? I know we're getting, now that we have the season grind, let's let people know what some of the reliever content we're going to be pumping out over the next couple days.
Yeah, the reliever ranks are back. Opening day, I put out just pretty much a depth chart. It's for opening day depth chart. So I know, Jake, you got the article coming out today, which would be Friday the 31st. So yeah, and from there on out, we have a really good staff daily putting together all the information you need from a reliever standpoint. So if you listen to this podcast, you should be checking out that article every day as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's definitely worth it. It takes a while to write when you're covering every single game. There's a lot to do, but this podcast will definitely give me a head start on writing that tonight. But yeah, you'll see me there once or twice a week. So definitely read those articles. Really helps you stay up to date on everything that's happening in every single bullpen. If you're in a saves plus holds league, I think that's probably like the most important article you could read on our site. Outside of that, I'm going to be putting out other stuff. I know I'm doing a gift breakdown of one of the starters that'll be making their debuts next week. And I'll be a member of the First Pitch podcast. You can listen to me on Saturday and Sunday mornings to get your daily dose of baseball news and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'll be able to be found all over the place, especially on the Pitcherless website.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for those. For me, it's just this podcast. I'll be in the Discord just chatting it up. I was having a great time talking some baseball with everyone in there today. It's just fun seeing everyone's excitement and the instant reaction and the 10 to 15 messages of all rise or whatever when Aaron Judge hits a home run, or just letting people know, or the constant reminder of, oh, hey, half your home league team just got hurt today. So that's fun. But it's great to have meaningful baseball back. And if you want to talk it with a great group of people, then getting a Discord is the best place to do it. So I would highly, highly recommend it. We'll be communicating more throughout there as the season goes on. So looking forward to those interactions as the season gets going. But thanks for tuning in to the In the Pen podcast. As always, I am Callan, joined by Jake and Rick, and we'll see you all next week.